Hello again, and welcome to Thy Word is a Lamp. This is Minika, and I'm happy to be with you today as we read God's Word. Today we'll look at the book of Ezra, chapters 1, 2, and 3, and I'll be reading today from the Good News translation. So let's just dive in. In the first year that Cyrus of Persia was emperor, the Lord made what he had said through the prophet Jeremiah come true. He prompted Cyrus to issue the following command and to send it out in writing to be read aloud everywhere in his empire. This is the command of Cyrus, emperor of Persia. The Lord, the God of heaven, has made me ruler over the whole world, and has given me the responsibility of building a temple for him in Jerusalem in Judah. May God be with all of you who are his people. You are to go to Jerusalem and build the temple of the Lord, the God of Israel, the God who is worshipped in Jerusalem. If any of his people in exile need help to return, their neighbors are to give them this help. They are to provide them with silver and gold, supplies and pack animals, as well as offerings to present in the temple of God in Jerusalem. Then all the heads of the clans of the tribes of Judah and Benjamin, the priests and Levites, and everyone else whose heart God had moved ready to go and rebuild the Lord's temple in Jerusalem. All their neighbors helped them by giving them many things: silver, utensils, gold, supplies, pack animals, other valuables, and offerings for the temple. Emperor Cyrus gave them back the bowls and cups that King Nebuchadnezzar had taken from the temple in Jerusalem and had put in the temple of his gods. He handed them over to Mithridat, chief of the royal treasury, who made an inventory of them for Sheshbazzar, the governor of Judah, as follows: gold bowls for offerings, 30. Silver bowls for offerings, 1,000. Other bowls, 29. Small gold bowls, 30. Small silver bowls, 410. Other utensils, 1,000. In all, there were 5,400 gold and silver bowls and other articles which Sheshbazzar took with him when he and the other exiles went from Babylon to Jerusalem. Many of the exiles left the province of Babylon and returned to Jerusalem and Judah, all to their own homelands. Their families had been living in exile in Babylonia ever since King Nebuchadnezzar had taken them there as prisoners. Their leaders were Zerubbabel, Joshua, Nehemiah, Seraiah, Reliah, Mordecai, Bilshan, Mizpah, Bigvai, Rehum, and Baana. Now this is the list of the clans of Israel, with the numbers of those from each clan who returned from exile. Parosh, 2,172. Sephatiah, 3,072. Ara, 775. Pahath Moab, 2,812. Elam, 1,254. Zatu, 945. Zekiah, 760. Bani, 642. Bebiah, 623. Asgad, 1,222. Adonikam, 6,066. Bigvai, 2,056. Adin, 454. Ata, also called Hezekiah, 98. Beziah, 323. Jorah, 112. Hashum, 223. Geba, 95. For those whose ancestors had lived in the following towns also returned: Bethlehem, 123. Netophah, 56. Anathoth, 128. Asmaveth, 42. Kiriath, Jearim, Cherephah, and Beeroth, 743. Ramah and Geba, 621. Michmash, 122. Bethel and Ai, 223. Nebo, 52. Magbish, 156. The other Elam, 1254. Harim, 320. Lod, Hadid, and Ono, 725. Jericho, 345. Seniah, 3630. This is the list of the priestly clans that returned from exile. Jediah, 973. Imer, 1052. Pashur, 1247. Harim, 1017. The clans of the Levites who returned from exile: Jeshua and Kadmiel, 74. Temple musicians, 128. Temple guards, 139. The clans of temple workers who returned from exile: Zihar, Hasufa, Taboth, Keros, Siaha, Padan, Lebanon, Hagaba, Akub, Hagab, Shemaiah, Hanan, Gidel, Geha, Reha, Razin, Nekoda, Gazam, Uza, Pasea, Besai, Asna, Meonim, Nephizim, Bakuk, Hakukfa, Harhu, Basluth, Mehida, Harsha, Bakos, Sisera, Tema, Neziah, and Hatifa. The clans of Solomon's servants who returned from exile: Sotiah, Hasophereth, Peruda, Jeala, Darkan, Gidel, Sephatiah, Hatil, Pochereth, Hazebeam, and Ami. The total number of descendants of the temple workers and of Solomon's servants who returned from exile was 392. There were 652 belongings to the clans of Deliah, Tobiah, and Nekoda, who returned from the towns of Tel Mela, Tel Harsha, Cherub, Adan, and Emer, but they could not prove that they were descendants of Israelites. The following priestly clans could find no record to prove their ancestry: Habia, Harkos, and Basilea. Since they were unable to prove who their ancestors were, they were not accepted as priests. The Jewish governor told them that they could not eat the food offered to God until there was a priest who could do the Urim and Thummim. The total number of exiles who returned was 42,360. Their male and female servants, 7,337. The male and female musicians, 200, horses, 736, mules, 245, camels, 435, donkeys, 6,720. When the exiles arrived at the Lord's temple in Jerusalem, some of the elders of the clan gave freewill offering to help rebuild the temple on its old site. They gave as much as they could for this work, and the total came to 1,030 pounds of gold, 5,740 pounds of silver, and 100 robes for the priests. The priests, the Levites, and some of the people settled in or near Jerusalem. The musicians, the temple guards, and the temple workers settled in nearby towns, and the rest of the Israelites settled in the towns where their ancestors had lived. By the seventh month, the people of Israel were all settled in their towns. Then they all assembled in Jerusalem, and Joshua, son of Jehozadak, his fellow priests, and Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, together with his relatives, rebuilt the altar of the God of Israel, so that they could burn sacrifices on it, according to the instructions written in the law of Moses, the man of God. Even though the returning exiles were afraid of the people who were living in the land, they rebuilt the altar where it had stood before. Then they all began once again to burn on it the regular morning and evening sacrifices. They celebrated the festival of shelters according to the regulations. Each day they offered the sacrifices required for that day. And in addition, they offered the regular sacrifices to be burned whole and those to be offered at the new moon festival and at all the other regular assembles at which the Lord is worshipped, as well as all the offerings that they were giving to the Lord voluntarily. Although the people had not yet started to rebuild the temple, they began on the first day of the seventh month to burn sacrifices to the Lord. The people gave money to pay the stonemasons and the carpenters, and they gave food, drinks, and olive oil to be sent to the cities of Tyre and Sidon in exchange for cedar trees from Lebanon, which were to be brought by sea to Joppa. All this was done with the permission of Emperor Cyrus of Persia. So in the second month of the year, after they got back to the site of the temple in Jerusalem, they began work. Zerubbabel, Joshua, and the rest of the people, the priests, the Levites, in fact, all the exiles who had come back to Jerusalem, joined in the work. All the Levites, 20 years of age or older, were put in charge of the work of rebuilding the temple. The Levite Jeshua and his sons and relatives, and Kadmiel and his sons, joined together in taking charge of rebuilding the temple. When the builders started to lay the foundation of the temple, the priest in their robes took their places with trumpets in their hands, and the Levites of the clan of Asaph stood there with cymbals. They praised the Lord according to the instructions handed down from the time of King David. They sang the Lord's praises, repeating the refrain, "The Lord is good, and his love for Israel is eternal." Everyone shouted with all their might, praising the Lord, because the work on the foundation of the temple had been started. Many of the older priests, the Levites, and heads of clans had seen the first temple, and as they watched the foundation of this temple being laid, they cried and wailed. But the others who were there shouted for joy. No one could distinguish between the joyful shouts and the crying, because the noise they made was so loud that it could be heard for miles. Praise the name of the Lord. Now the book of Ezra was written around 400 BC. And Ezra was a descendant, a direct descendant of Aaron, the chief priest, as we will see later in chapter 7. So Ezra's narrative reveals two main issues faced by the returning exiles. As we read on, we will begin to see that the first six chapters covers the return of the first Jews from captivity after the decree by Emperor Cyrus, who allowed the Jews to return to their land. And it ends with the rebuilding of the temple in Jerusalem. And the second part of the narrative, which we will see from chapter 7, picks up the story 60 years later, when Ezra again leads the second group of exiles to Israel. The general theme of this book is about God restoring his people to the land according to his promises and restoring his people spiritually to proper worship and godly living. Now, if we look back many years before this time, the prophet Jeremiah had predicted that God's people would be in captivity because of their stubbornness. And so King Cyrus, Emperor Cyrus, begins to complete that prophecy. But note this, Emperor Cyrus was not a Jew. Yet, God caused this ruler to be a special part of God's plan for his people. And God used him to keep his promise to return his people to their homeland. What can we take from this? One, God keeps his promise. He is a covenant-keeping God. Two, God chastises. He chastises his people. But he also has his grace, his gracious purpose for spiritual renewal. So for centuries, the Lord had warned his disobedient people, calling them back to himself through his prophets, but they would not listen. The Bible tells us in Hebrews 12, verse 6 and 10, those whom the Lord loves, he disciplines, and he scourges every son whom he receives. But his discipline is good for us, so that we may share of his holiness. Sometimes we are so fixed to the things of the world. We are so fixed to the world, and we tend to put God aside, to the point where the Lord has to bring us to a place where we find no rest. The Lord takes us to our own Babylon. But as soon as we recognize that we are in Babylon, we can always make an attempt to draw back to him. What else do we get out of this? That God can use anyone. God used Emperor Cyrus, who was not even a Jew. God often uses people or events that sometimes we would not suspect that we are being helped. The people involved may not even know that God is using them. But when we are open to hearing the Lord, when we are open to hearing the Lord and seeing him at work, we can see how vast God is and how easy it is for us to reach him. God had promised to restore his people after 70 years. Now, that really sounds humanly impossible. It sounds like a huge task. After 70 years in Babylon, with the whole of the city of Jerusalem and the temple in ruins, how could things ever be restored? Think about it. It's humanly impossible. The Jews didn't have the resources to do it. But what man cannot do, God did it. So the book of Ezra gives an account of the Jews regathering. It gives an account of their struggle to survive. It gives an account of them coming together to rebuild what had been destroyed. And through this narrative of Ezra, he declares that we are still God's people. It shows us that we are still God's people. And God does not forget his people. And so when we look at the times we are in now, with the pandemic, looking at nations of the world having to rebuild the economy, looking at people having to rebuild their families, rebuild their lives, looking at businesses, how to rebuild their businesses, and even looking at the churches have been affected by this pandemic. One thing that has come out of this is that it has enabled the church to rebuild. The church has been forced to devise other ways to reach out to Christians. The church has been forced to devise other ways to hold worship services. It took us out of our comfort zone. As we see in the book of Ezra, we witness the rebuilding of a new temple. We witness the unification of the returning tribes. And we witness the common struggles and how they were now challenged to work together. And that is the same happening now to us as Christians and to the Church of God. It's a time to rebuild the church after the pandemic in a different way. It's a time for us to unite. It's a time for us to reach out to the unsaved, even more so. So here's an application for us as a church. Christ has promised to build his church. And he declares that every tribe, every tongue, every people, every nation will one day be gathered before his throne. So where do we get the resources to see these promises become a reality? The answer is this. When God promises, he also supplies the demand to meet those promises as his people continue to wait on him in prayer. When the people left for Jerusalem, they left with different articles. They left with money. They left with goods to rebuild the temple. The provision was made to rebuild the temple. And so even as we start a new normal with the church, even as we start a new way of reaching out, God has made the provision. Before the pandemic, many churches would never have considered online church using the social media platforms. But through the social media platforms, the church is reaching out to so many people who would otherwise not normally attend church. And so because the church was spiritually inconvenienced, it is leading us to a new revival of the church. Let me close with this. Do you sense the need personally for spiritual revival? As the church is being revived, do you sense in your own personal life the need for spiritual revival? If your honest answer is, no thanks, I'm fine, then you will stay in Babylon. Because Babylon is a comfortable place to live. And you'll continue to enjoy your life there. But the downside of that is that you'll miss what God wants to do with you personally and what God wants to do with you as a part of His church corporately. So if you sense the need for a renewal, a spiritual renewal, if you want to be spiritually inconvenienced and challenged into a spiritual renewal, then why not get alone with God and ask Him to work for His glorious purpose in you? Now, it's not going to be easy. It's not going to be comfortable. But it will move you from Babylon to Jerusalem. Just be willing to be inconvenienced, and you will see a spiritual renewal happening in your life. God bless you for listening. So if you have a prayer request, you can email me at thywordisalamp@gmail.com, and I will be praying for you. So my time is up. Join me next time and have a blessed and wonderful day. Thank you for listening. God bless you. Over and out.